Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Lounge radio show, where we expose the myths of entrepreneurship and release the weight of it all. Real people, real issues, and real talk with expert solutions. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show as we welcome our host, Alicia Brown, the Joy Guru.
And thank you for tuning in to another exciting episode of the Entrepreneur's Lounge radio show and podcast. And tonight's show is the continuation of our last show, where we're going to continue to expose some of the common hidden sabotaging thoughts that are keeping you from achieving the level of success you are so deserving of. But without further ado, I want you to help me welcome my co-hostess with Mimosas, and who I just had the pleasure of traveling with for 4 days for two live events. And if you follow our Facebook page, you've seen some of the pictures. So joining us is the CEO of Mo by Rebecca Ruth, the brand that reminds you to show up on purpose every day. And you definitely need the right mindset to do that. And how are you doing, Rebecca?
Hi, I'm doing well. Excited for another show. And I have to note that she didn't mention that they were 4 glorious days traveling with me.
Oh, Lord.
And our other friend, yes, glorious days.
Is that what we're going to call it? Is that what we're labeling it?
Marvelous.
Just so that I know.
Special, okay. Glorious. All the words that I can come up with. Life-changing, memorable, everything.
This is why we encourage you to follow us on YouTube, because I can hear her voice and I know her facial expressions. But if you've not watched our lives on YouTube, you need to. Those are something we started, I think, about a month or two ago, and pretty much there is a live every Friday. So go to the entrepreneurslounge.info so you can click on those videos and links to see the face match it with the voice, because trust me, there's facial expressions with what she just said, but I'm going to leave that alone. But how fitting it is that we're going to continue the mindset discussion after that fabulous trip. In the future, we're going to have the host of that wonderful third annual Runway to Life, Alicia Amsler, on the show. We just had some scheduling conflicts because she's doing something extraordinary as a nonprofit. And there's a reason that what she's doing is actually standing out. It was a marvelous event right in RVA Fashion Week. It was wonderful. But since this deals with your industry, I'm going to let you tell us more about that. But first, I have to say that Alicia and her team really pulled out the red carpet for us. We met some world-class influencers, extraordinary people. So I humbly would thank Alicia Amsler, and as successful as year 3 was, I wish her nothing but God's endless blessings as she continues to fulfill her calling. So Rebecca Ruth, tell our audience why Runway to Life, what it is, and why it is so extraordinary.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll start out by echoing what you just said. You know, I, in my profession, I have produced, directed, styled, been a part of multiple fashion shows at this point in my career. And I have very high standards. So, I look at things through very, very dingy pair of glasses, I guess you can say. So her show, from beginning to end, it wasn't, you know, just the fashion show and the fashion designers and everything involved, but it was the people mm-hmm. involved also. It was
yeah.
very high class, very well done, very professionally put together. You really did feel like you were at a show like at New York Fashion Week or something like that. And as it
right.
turns out, I think at least one of the designers' shows at New York Fashion Week. So that to me is already an example of the standard that she's at professionally to put out something like that. And, you know, she said it herself, Alicia said it herself, it takes an army. And literally there was an army of people there putting this whole event together. And all for a nonprofit, all for a great cause. So a lot of us are volunteering our time. And that's what's incredible to me is people coming together to put together something so big. And a lot of industry people, people in the fashion industry, you know, they this is what they do for a living, and heavy hitters in the industry, but they're coming to get it together and volunteering their time for for this event and for this nonprofit because it's that important to us. So one of the reasons why I wanted to get involved with Runway to Life is obviously and right in the title, Runway to Life. I love fashion. I love everything about it. Anybody who knows me, and if you've listened even once, you know this by now, that I love fashion. And I also love to give back. I love to, however I can, you know, and I'm one of those people, you know, I'll send a check, I'll send money, but I prefer to get hands-on and get involved in what's really going on. And so this, for me, it literally just jumped out and hit me in the face when I saw it because I was like, okay, it's combining my love for fashion with my love for helping others and bringing it together. Her platform is suicide prevention and mental health awareness. The great thing about this organization, and this is something I brought up with Alicia Ambler the first time I ever spoke to her, was that she's the only nonprofit organization in the entire world doing this kind of thing through fashion. Which was amazing to me, you know. Now, let me explain that. There are a lot of nonprofits who do fashion shows. I've done, you know, I've produced a bunch of them myself to raise, you know, to raise money for their organization. But this nonprofit is centered around fashion itself. And that's what makes it different. That's what makes it stand out. And it's like nothing else in the world at this point. So that was huge to me. To hear that, and of course, amazing to me to hear that at the same time.
Absolutely.
But yeah, just, and she has a heart of gold. Alicia Ambler has a heart of gold.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's so humbled by all the people who are involved in this show. And I know, and just like Alicia Brown, the host, said, if this was your
I know, you gotta make sure
wait.
We know what Alicia
I know, you gotta
about.
Like. Right. So as Alicia Brown, the host, said, if this is year three, then I really can't wait to see what year four and moving forward, you know, has to bring and just being involved in that. And not only do they do the, you know, the fashion show is their annual big fundraiser, but they also do, you know, other things throughout the year. They have classes. I know Alicia Ambler herself teaches, like, anxiety classes and stuff like that. So they do have other things, other events and everything. But the fashion show is definitely the big, you know, the big one of the year.
Right. And, you know, that's something that we're both passionate about. You know, as entrepreneurs, you know, I'm a vice president for a nonprofit. You do a lot of different charity events and volunteer your time on behalf of nonprofits. If you have to think outside of the box, you know, and something like suicide and depression, it's not a sexy topic. It's a very relevant topic. It's a very much needed attention towards that topic. But, you know, sometimes when you have sensitive things like that, you know, people are a little shy of coming because of the fact that if I come, that automatically means that I'm a victim of this or I'm a survivor of this. And sometimes people don't want that to provide that transparency. But when you have a fashion show, if someone wants to talk about their story, the environment was created where they can do that, or you can have people that say, this is a great cause, I want to donate, and I'm here for fashion. So it makes it kind of sexy for a good cause. And then it creates that atmosphere where people feel comfortable if they have had that story. And the work that she did with people that came forward to talk about their stories, it makes it comfortable to say, okay, I'm not alone here. Someone gets this. There's help there. And, oh, my goodness, because I'm personally impacted, I want to be able to help in a greater capacity. So, guys, we promise we will have her on a future show. And for more information, you can visit runway2life.com. That is runway, like the runway, two, the number two, life, all one word, runway number two, life.com. Now, the reason why I say it was so fitting that we had that trip while we continued this mindset discussion is because we were both in a spirit in our lives and, you know, business, personal, whatever. We just wanted more. You know, neither one of us is new to entrepreneurship, but as you go through different levels of growth and transition, there's different experiences you want. There's different levels that you want at that stage in the game. That's going to require you to be a different person. It's going to require you to have a different mindset. You sometimes are going to have to change your connections, your surroundings, your process and systems, but more importantly, you're going to have to change the way you think if you want to go higher. And because we're about transparency and entrepreneurship with the show, quite honestly, there are certain stages of growth in your business where you are operating as if your brand's thinking new, although you might be a seasoned business owner. So it still can be very scary. It can be lonely. It can be a crazy journey each day through different seasons. And that's why we created the show, to bring the experts to our listening audience and give you those strategies and expose those myths so you can really have the level of success that you deserve. What are your thoughts on that, Rebecca?
Yeah, I think that, you know, in entrepreneurship, in life, but since we're talking about entrepreneurship specifically, you always have to keep growing. And so I think that mindset has is part of growth. You know, a couple years ago, I knew nothing about personal development and mindset. And quite frankly, I thought it was, you know, I thought it was kind of stupid, if I'm being completely honest. I didn't see the point. I was, you know, like I didn't take it seriously. And I thought it was like some kind of weird magic stuff, whatever. But it really isn't. You know, I listen, you know, as you know, I listen to people every day, every morning as I'm getting ready for my day. And this morning I happened to be listening, well, someday maybe I'll be talking to him, but I was listening to Tony Robbins. He was talking about this, and he was like, you know, just like I just said, he was like, it's not a bunch of magic. It's not some magic pill. It's not, you know, everybody thinks it's like some kind of voodoo thing that we're doing. No, he was like, there is actually like it's like a biochemical connection between your mindset and what you do every day and the decisions that you make and the attitude that you're in and everything like that. But one of the important things they mention is that you have to actually, like, you have to choose to do it. It's not something where you just wake up and you're like, oh, well, maybe I'll think about having a positive attitude today. Maybe I'll think about, you know, no, you have to actually choose to get up every day, every morning and say, today I'm going to do this. Today I'm going to have this attitude. Today I'm going to handle, you know what I mean? Like, and I do it, since we're talking about transparency, I do it because I know that on days when I miss that time in the morning where I have my quiet time, I have my, you know, reading time, which is a whole other thing. Like, you really need to be reading because, honestly, if you ever get to the point as an entrepreneur where you get complacent and you feel like I have nothing else to learn, that's when you're going to start going backwards, to be honest.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so I read. And for those of you like, I don't have time, listen, I do 10 pages a day. Okay.
So exactly.
That ends up being about one book a month. So, hey, but you have to always keep growing. But I do it every morning. I read. I listen to those people, the Tony Robbins, the Jim Rohns, the Les Browns, all those people to just get me into that mindset. And that's my thing. Some people meditate. Some people work out. Whatever it is, you've got to find your thing. But those people and that reading and all that stuff that you do, that's growth. And that's also mindset growth. You know, your personal development, that turns into mindset growth, which really drastically changes your outlook on everything. And I've noticed that on days when I don't do that, It's not that magically, you know, my, you know, it's not, it's this, okay, I think what I need to get everybody to understand, we're not guaranteeing that you're going to have a great day because you get up and do this.
Right.
We're not guaranteeing nothing bad is going to happen. What we're saying is if you do these things and you grow in your mindset, you will be able to handle those things that come at you differently. So when I don't spend that time in the morning, I don't handle things that are thrown at me during the day the right way. So I think we need to make sure we make that clear. But also and I think this is super important, especially for entrepreneurs, because we talk about how, you know, and I think Alicia said earlier, entrepreneurship can be scary, lonely, and there are too many successful entrepreneurs out there who are struggling with depression, addiction, suicidal thoughts, all these things, because they just don't have that support. They don't have that mindset. They're not mentally strong enough to handle some of the pressures of entrepreneurship. So I'm such a big advocate of this for entrepreneurs.
So true. And, you know, just like we have the stigma with things with mental health, there's stigma with things with entrepreneurship and saying that, you know, there's times you want to quit this. I don't know any successful person at any stage of the business that don't feel that. They may still feel that on a given day. So it's so important that we analyze the power of mindset, but we also analyze some of the things that we're doing to sabotage our success, because there is the difference. There is a dramatic difference in the mindset of the uber successful versus everyone else. So there are some things that we really analyze that we might be doing to prevent our success, actually sabotaging our success when it comes to overcoming adversity, health and wellness, even attracting the type of people that you want in your life. So tonight we're going to focus on the sabotaging behaviors and thoughts that can prevent you from having the type of romantic relationships you want and desire, even the type of sex you want and desire in those relationships, as well as sometimes overcoming trauma. So I'm going to go into trauma first, because I'm sure we're going to have a totally different conversation when it comes to sex and romantic relationships. And God, I apologize in advance. But before we do that, I want to offer the following show disclaimer.
This show, our social media accounts, and any related content offered is done in the hopes of bringing enlightenment and awareness to our listeners. They are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate in any way any disease or condition, or to promote any specific lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or other personal practice. Always seek the advice of a qualified health or clinical professional with any questions you may have. Never disregard professional help or medical advice, or delay in seeking it because of something you have read in our content or heard on this show.
Absolutely. And now that we took care of that piece of information, I want to talk about post-traumatic stress syndrome. You know, that was something that once was just associated with those that were military service members, but time has revealed that anyone that has experienced trauma can actually be subject to PTSD. Now, according to the Department of Veteran Affairs, 6 of every 10 men and 5 out of every 10 women experience at least one trauma in their life. And women are more likely to experience sexual assault and child sexual abuse, while men are more likely to experience accidents, combat, disaster, physical assault, or to witness death or injury. So again, PTSD can happen to anyone. It is not a sign of weakness. There's a number of factors that go into increasing your chance that you'll develop PTSD, many of which are not under a person's control. Actually, in the U.S., about 8 million adults have PTSD during any given year, which is only a small portion of those who have gone through that trauma. About 10 of every 100 women, compared to 4 out of every 100 men, develop PTSD at some point in their life. So keeping that in mind, Rebecca, what do the experts say about mindset and overcoming PTSD and trauma?
Well, the next tips that we have come from a blog written by Roland Ball, who lives in Barcelona, Spain, and he's had several private practices in Holland and Luxembourg before he, you know, eventually moved to Spain. He currently works online providing counseling and online courses where he focuses on resolving complex trauma and PTSD. So he says that sabotage can come in many forms and can be very evident at times or be more subtle. Relationships are an area where sabotage becomes most apparent. It's not that you intentionally try to hurt the other person or wreck the relationship. It is that you have default survival patterns that are coming to the foreground because you are having to act in relationship with someone. So, for example, and this is, you know, obviously just one possibility, your spouse might have to go on a trip for business or family reasons, and this unconsciously threatens you because you've been neglected and felt abandoned as a child. So closer to your spouse's trip, you get angry, throw tantrums, become accusatory, and even get horrible headaches, all in an attempt to prevent that trip from happening. These are the reactions that are results of your conditioned survival patterns, which are often disproportionate to the situation or circumstances. To make things worse, you could possibly trigger each other and feel activated, project onto each other, and continuously cycle into blame, guilt, shame, self-reproach, and self-righteousness. When you're calm, however, your behavior actually reflects your love and affection for your other half. It's almost as if you have multiple parts within you that are fighting for dominance and conflicting with each other. So in Roland Ball's counseling sessions, he often refers to this as the adult part, which sees clearly what you want and which direction you want to move, and the child part within that has, because of the traumatic experience, other objectives, you know, to keep yourself safe and alive. It is these two parts that are in conflict with each other.
You know, that's interesting, because when you were talking, it sounded like something we're used to with children. And you, I mean, any parent or anyone that's been around children see that, you know, you see that all the time. But then when you're really going into the example, now that is something that happens with adults. You know, one of the things I loved about the article, and I'll admit that certain parts of that I can be guilty of myself, is that he said the other major area of self-sabotage is when you have certain intentions or things to do, but somehow you're not able to start them, break off halfway through, lose interest, have bouts of amnesia and forgetfulness, or freeze up in the process. You might be fully conscious of not wanting to persist with a certain action because your anxiety mounts, and thus you channel your energy into superficial occupations such as YouTube, Facebook, over-organizing, ruminating endlessly, getting focused on less important things, cleaning, and so on. And, you know, a lot of that stuff we see in one way, but imagine you put that energy into a business. You're seen as someone that's really productive and constantly has everything going, but without, you know, certain bounds and boundaries, that actually might be a sign of self-sabotage. So what Roland Ball, he gives these two tips for overcoming self-sabotage. He says that you have to become aware that you have different parts of yourself that have different objectives, as you were saying earlier. If you can validate both parts of you, then that helps you to stop fighting with yourself. And then you can genuinely give your attention to both parts in an attempt to align your intentions. Now, the second tip, he says, is once you're not further engaging in conflict with your self-sabotage, then you will have the energy to observe yourself. And observing yourself is crucial in being able to work through the deeper fear patterns that are preventing you from making significant changes. So those are two tips that he gives. And, you know, like I think we prefaced, none of this stuff is easy. But it's something that once you're aware of the issue, once you're given some tips, once you're given some signs of something, then you can continue to analyze things to see what improvement you need to make. But I know that we've said a lot, and our listeners probably need a break as much as we do. So we're going to just pause real briefly for the calls. We're going to be back in a few, and then we're going to talk about how to attract the love and sex your desire. You're listening to the Entrepreneurs Lounge radio show and podcast. We will be right back.
Does your professional look make a global impact? Hi, this is Rebecca Ruth, and I'm an image consultant and the CEO of Mode by Rebecca Ruth. I specialize in helping you make the best first impression through your appearance, communication, and multicultural etiquette. Contact me today, and I will teach you how to show up on purpose. Call 202-996-7986 and make sure you mention Entrepreneurs Lounge Radio Show for your exclusive offer.
The reason that people don't want to deal with what's holding them back is because it does not feel good to look back. So the easier thing to do is to live in what I call your condition zone. It's not a comfort zone because it doesn't make you comfortable. You're just familiar with it.
Letitia Bates, certified life coach.
So I'm always working with my clients to meet them at their needs. I am listening to where they are. I do have to help them move to that next level, but we're going to go slow, and what they can expect from me is kindness, respect, and compassion.
Go to atthewheelcoaching.com and start driving your life back to higher ground.
What I help you do is understand anything that you've gone through, you've already survived. That's why you're here. And we can work together to deal with those uneasy feelings and help you move forward.
Go now to atthewheelcoaching.com.
Do you have a book idea that is so amazing that not only could it solve world peace, but it would be the perfect solution to everyone's problem, and it would make you a millionaire overnight? I mean, do you have this idea that would be the world's next bestseller, and everyone needs to read it? Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but no such book idea exists, nor ever will. This is Alicia Brown, the CEO of Fruition Publishing Concierge Services. What I can tell you is the book idea that you have is the perfect solution for someone who's desperately searching for it. But first, your book needs to be done. So visit us today at Fruition Publishing Concierge Services, which is at fruitionpublishing.com, where we'll show you how to take your concept from vision to fruition. It's time to get her done. fruitionpublishing.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for staying tuned to the Entrepreneurs Lounge radio show and podcast. And I'm your host, Alicia Brown, the Joy Guru, and we are here with Rebecca Ruth, CEO of Mode by Rebecca Ruth, our wonderful co-host who reminds us to show up on purpose every day. And tonight we're discussing the importance of mindset, being able to release the weight of it all when it comes to entrepreneurship. We already discussed how valuable mindset is in the areas of overcoming trauma and PTSD. Now we're going to get into how your mindset will influence your sex life and attracting the love you desire. So without further ado, Rebecca Ruth, share the insight with us in regards to attracting the love you desire.
All righty. Well, these next tips come from a blog written by Virginia Clark on Psych Central. She advises us to change our mindset to find true love. And this is what she says. She says, your mindset, like a bad habit, has a shadow side. The shadow is devious and makes it tough for us to see that we have any particular mindset at all. It tricks us into believing that it's just the way we think. No big deal. If you're having trouble in your romantic life, it's time to see if your mindset needs an adjustment. If you think your mindset might be causing problems, you have the power to change it. Like breaking any habit, it demands a great amount of effort and determination. So I'm going to answer the following three questions, you know, to see if your mindset is on the right track to finding love. First question is, have you created the right environment to attract love? Second question, are you surrounding yourself with people who support you? And the third question is, do you take courageous action on your own behalf? So let's talk about the first one, the right environment to attract love. Writer Virginia Clark says that how you set up your life and personal space will tell you a lot. If you don't pay attention to how you're living and what you come home to at night, you aren't setting the stage for the love you want. Surround yourself with things that make you feel good. Make it a priority to always be around things that you consider beautiful. Your bedroom should be restful and inviting. Your home space should be free of clutter. And changing your home environment will oftentimes change your energy and create a new mindset towards love. The second point is about surrounding yourself with people who support you, which we talk about all the time on this show. But she says, if you're not seeking out positive, supportive people in your life, you will feel overwhelmed. None of us can do it alone. Regardless of how strong you think you are, we all need outside input and camaraderie to remind us that we are valuable and special people. If you spend time with friends who love to gossip and can complain, this negativity will rub off on you. These kinds of interactions support a mindset of being a victim to outside circumstances. You must find people who have a positive outlook on life and love. Surround yourself with people who see you as the wonderful person you are. And the last point was taking courageous action on your own behalf. As women, we are not really taught the value of courage. Courage was something reserved for boys. But being fully committed to loving someone and being vulnerable, which is what true love requires, demands that you have courage. It's not easy to trust another human being with your deepest self. It can feel risky. A romantic relationship will require you to have the courage to face the ups and downs of life. Other courageous actions you'll need to take include speaking up for yourself, honoring your boundaries, and telling the truth. So, Alicia Brown, what are your thoughts?
Well, child, where do I start? Man, you know, her initial advice, as you know from our conversation, is spot on because it really pertains to relationships in general. And you know how I feel. I've said it several times on the show. You know, a lot of times relationships, romantic relationships, it starts with that friendship thing. It starts with that core. So, you know, if you're not a decent human being and you really don't know how to be a friend, you're going to have a hard time being a romantic partner because friendship is everything. But I agree with what she said because I think if you're serious about wanting a relationship, like anything else in life, preparation has to take place on your part before you seek it. You know, I'm a fan of analyzing self for what your heart desires first and then making sure you have the capacity to receive that. But, you know, I think that's something people need to do more of because if you don't, I just think you, even in friendships, you know, no romantic thing involved, you just bring a bunch of unnecessary drama and confusion and chaos to everyone around you. You know, we all know how it's like to be around that person that's just negative and the negative energy, or like she was saying, that gossips. You know, we all might say something about this girl that you hear, da-da-da-da-da. But when that's what you're consumed with, it brings a certain energy that's not good around those with you. So if you're seeking love and the love you really desire, you want to sort of fix some issues. Not saying you have to be perfect, but you want to fix some issues that make you, you know, a good person to be in a relationship with, period. To add to that, there was an article by marriage family therapist Shelley Bullard that talks about three beliefs that will attract the love of your life. And simply she said that, one, you have to believe in yourself. Two, you have to believe in potential partners. And then three, you have to believe in relationships. And that sounds so simple. But, you know, I believe that's a true problem for so many of the things that we want to attract and we don't have. Either we have those three things out of order or we might be missing one. So many people say they want love, but then they don't believe that they deserve it. Perhaps that is because of prior abuse or trauma or other unresolved issues within. It might be common, but a broken relationship can really leave wounds so deep that a person needs extensive amount of time and counseling to heal those wounds. So I think, you know, in society, there's so many people that are walking around broken and they're trying to heal that brokenness with other things, other people, looking for them to affirm them, but really you need to affirm yourself first. You have to love yourself. You have to be clear on what you deserve. And you know, as we say in previous shows, raising that standard for what you're going to allow and what you want, you won't. There's nothing wrong with setting boundaries and then enforcing them. And you can do that without being bitter, without being demeaning, and without being difficult. And one of the things that Shelley Bullard talked about in that article, and Rebecca, again, you and I say this all the time, is that people treat you the way you treat yourself and the way you expect to be treated. So that is why we repeat patterns over and over again. We expect something to happen, so it does. And that is referred to as a limiting or dysfunctional belief. So any pattern you continuously encounter in other people is a pattern that lives within you. While at first sight it may seem like all men are unavailable or all women try to control you, what's really happening in those situations is that you're coming up against an old belief system. That's what Shelley Bullard shares. She says it's a belief system that tells you relationships are going to turn out a certain way. And our wounds become ingrained when we're young. So that's why as adults we create these dysfunctional patterns in relationships. And whatever those wounds are, whether you felt rejected, abandoned, insignificant, unheard, or trapped, you'll continue to experience those same dynamics in your adult relationships until you heal the wound and you move beyond. So, real brief, what she says as far as how can you heal, simply by treating yourself the way you want to be treated. If you feel invalidated by others, then practice validating yourself. If you feel trapped in relationships, evaluate how you're trapping yourself, whether it's by not speaking your truth, whether it's by not showing up authentically, and then change that. If you feel rejected or abandoned, then you need to show up and love yourself through thick and thin. So any pattern that you see in others is mirroring a limiting belief of how you expect to be treated in relationships. So she simply says you heal yourself from the inside out, and your experience of others will drastically shift as well.
Yeah, and I like the part where she says, if you care about yourself, you won't stand for someone treating you poorly. You stand up for yourself the way you stand up, you know, for a good friend and move on. But when your self-worth is lower than it should be, you end up accepting treatment that mirrors that low self-worth. This keeps you stuck in relationships that just don't work for you. When your beliefs are aligned to the highest potential, you create partnerships that are unbelievably fulfilling. When your beliefs are aligned to limits and dysfunction, then that's what you're going to see. The choice is really yours, which is what I was saying at the beginning. It's a choice. You have to believe in the highest possibilities, strive for the highest possibilities, and anything you want can be yours.
So true. And I want listeners to know that some of the information we're giving, the links and things like that, last week we did provide to those that are subscribers to our website. We provided a list for the articles that we talked about last week. This week we'll probably put that in our Facebook group. So if you look for the Entrepreneurs Lounge radio show, we'll definitely put those links in there and some of the other places. But I'm sure those of you who follow us want to hear on the next part. So, Ms. Rebecca Ruth, share with us the power of mindset when it comes to sex.
Well, intimacy and sexuality coach, Irene Fair. Why are you laughing, though?
Oh, no reason.
Who is a Huffington Post contributor, promises that you can radically improve your sex life with this one mindset change. She said that it's not about toys or positions or getting to know each other better. It's about getting curious about yourself and your partner as if you've never met. Irene points to the reality that we're constantly changing and evolving moment to moment. Our desires are constantly, of course, shifting as well. So what felt good yesterday may not feel good today. What you wanted yesterday may feel foreign today. When we assume that we know ourselves and each other, we stop listening and getting curious. We get rigid and we get hurt when things don't go as planned. we end up applying something that's static, like a sex routine, on top of something that's changing and evolving in every moment, our bodies, desires, and connection, effectively stifling the thing that creates magic.
So she's saying that you should have beginner sex?
Well, she asked you to think about approaching sex with a beginner's mindset. Irene says, imagine a radically different way of having sex that's about connection with each other moment to moment. It's radically different because you cannot logically figure out what you want or what your partner wants. There are no scripts for this. You have to feel your way into it. You have to do it with beginner's eyes. This is connection sex. So imagine, instead of entering the bedroom with an idea of what sex looks like and a goal, you allow the connection between you and your partner to dictate what's next. You let go of preconceived ideas and expectations, strip away the goal, forget everything you know. So she advises to slow down, get naked, and feel into what's there.
Oh,
let your body let your body lead. Let your mind quiet down. I feel like I should be talking like a soft voice for this part.
You know, you get arrested for that, right? There's laws. That's called. Never mind. Go ahead.
Right. Let desire dictate your mood. Let the sensation turn you on. Let the attention and curiosity for each other fuel the connection. Use your inner guidance. What's here now? And now, what's wanting to emerge? What's my body wanting? What's my partner wanting? What's arising between us? There's no order, no scripted path. When there's no goal, variety naturally emerges. When you get curious, things become new. Sex does not need to look a certain way, but it has to feel connected. Sometimes all it takes is a makeout. Other times, penetration feels right. Other times, you lay in each other's arms in total stillness, intertwined in a wild embrace until you can no longer tolerate the heat arising between you and it shifts. Or you fall asleep, tender, connected, still. What do you think, Brown?
I think my best answer here is no comment. Not because of the advice, but just the subject matter.
Oh, Brown, we don't do that. You have never had no comment.
That's true. Now that is true. That is so. But you know what? There has been a few times.
Name one.
There's been a few times.
Right. Right. You can't think of one. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, since you insist, listeners, you heard her insist. So that's the only reason I'm asking the question, answering it. I'm under duress. I guess I technically understand what she's saying, but I'm not sure how often the average person would do that. You know, I guess I need you to fill in some holes or give me some more information. Because, like, I just have other questions. Like, when she talks about the no scripted flow part, I mean, what if you're into, like, the 50 Shades of Grey, you know, BDSM type of sex? You know, there has to be some type of script, a plan, even if you just have code words for escape or something.
Brown, the goal was to radically improve your sex life with a mindset change.
Well, for some people, that is the goal, the 50 Shades of Grey type sex. That will radically improve their sex life.
Wow, I can't today. You and the 50 Shades of Grey, you keep going back to that.
Okay, see, I want to explain myself, okay? I want to defend myself. See, as a book publisher, it's my professional duty to read various genres of literature and then extrapolate the wealth that others find in them, okay? So that's my reference to 50 Shades, you know, the information I got from there and how this pertains to the topic that we're currently discussing, you know.
First of all, I love your SAT word, extrapolate. That's one. And then two,
thank
is
you.
That really the excuse you're using?
Indeed it is. Do not blame me for doing and fulfilling my professional duty, because the people deserve it. But You don't sound like you believe me. I mean, you don't. Okay, whatever. I'm going to add that Dave and Ashley Willis actually shared 10 steps that every married couple needs to know about sex. And I'm just going to point out a few that I wanted to mention before we end the show. I will, again, we're going to give everybody these links, probably even tweet a few of them. But the first thing they said is that you should probably be having more sex. You know, they said the healthy couples make sex a priority. They were convinced that many, if not most, arguments in marriage stem from sexual frustration. And when this aspect of the relationship is neglected, the marriage will start to deteriorate, even when other areas of the marriage seem to be going strong. So they say that when you make love, you're making your marriage stronger. And then two, but I really appreciate this because I preach this all the time. Most men see sex as a form of stress relief, but most women need stress relief before they can be in the mindset to make love. And, you know, to me, it doesn't matter whether it's sex or just other things in general in a relationship. Women and men are completely different. So sometimes it's the same subject, but we're seeing it two different ways. And Dana Ashley Willis explained it this way. They said that there are neurological reasons for these differences. A husband and wife need to be in tune to each other's needs and desires and selflessly strive to serve each other. Men and women tend to be wired differently, and each person has his or her own wiring that often supersedes these broader generalizations. So you really have to get to know each other. You can't make assumptions. You have to communicate, and they emphasize communicate, and then your sex life will improve. The fifth tip they gave is that most people have some sexual baggage that they haven't fully discussed with their spouse. Bringing that out, whatever the baggage is, and having that discussion can lead to a positive breakthrough in your sex life and in your marriage. And the sixth thing they brought out, and I would love our listeners to let us know. Let us know if you agree with this. They said that you should be physically monogamous and mentally monogamous. And you think about that. Physically monogamous, we know what that means, but they also emphasize being mentally monogamous. And get this. They said, don't look outside your marriage to fulfill your sexual needs. And they will argue that that includes porn. They say that your sex life starts with your thought life. If you keep your thoughts and fantasies focused on your spouse, that's one of the tips they give for a better sex life. And I want to ask you, as far as, I love throwing you on the spot, as far as their point about including porn and that being something that where a person is not mentally monogamous and that actually having a problem, creating a problem in that marriage or in that sex life, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And I know that a lot of people don't agree with that, and a lot of people think, well, I can just watch porn, it doesn't do anything, blah, blah, blah. And I know there are couples who watch porn together and da-da-da. Personally, I don't see how you can watch porn and it doesn't affect you mentally in one way or another. I'm not necessarily saying it's negative, but I think it does affect you. One of the concerns that I've talked to other people about is, of course, I think the thing on the surface level for a lot of women is, well, my partner, my husband, you know, is fantasizing about somebody else. Even though he doesn't know the women, you know, of course, mm-hmm. in the videos, it's like he sees that and that's what he wants. And, you know, I'm not good enough. But then, like, the underlying thing is, like, what I just said about the woman. It's like, I'm not good enough. Why am I not good enough? Why does he have to go and watch a complete stranger on the video instead of coming to me? You know what I mean? And so I think it can. I'm not saying it doesn't every situation, obviously, but I think it can cause, you know, issues because now your mindset is all off. He's looking at it as, you know, maybe like this just helps me get aroused, get going. And she's looking at it as, oh, well, this is him just not wanting me. So, you know, eventually that
good
can
point.
Cause issues. That can cause her to withdraw and, like, I'm not good enough, I'm not sexy enough, maybe I need to try this, maybe I need to do more, maybe da-da-da. And that's why I do love that point about being physically monogamous and mentally, because people don't think about being mentally monogamous. But if you think about it, whether it's porn or something else or flirting, you know, emotional flirting versus physically flirting,
mm-hmm.
all those things, it's like when you're doing that, you're taking something away from your partner, essentially. You're taking a part of your connection away and you're giving it to something or someone else. So it's like when you think of it like that, you know what I mean? Like, of course it's going to cause issues.
You know, that's a point that's so good. I think I really want to post that on our social media and get people to chime back in. Because, you know, and again, if you watch our YouTube channel, you'll know our views on a lot of stuff. But I've always been a person that overthinks and overanalyzes stuff. So sometimes it's like simple, minute stuff that I'll just, you know, what about? So again, for our listening audience, this is just our opinions. This is one expert view, and we're definitely in no means trying to dictate what you do in your marriage, your relationship, your sex life, lack thereof, if you have sex, if you don't have sex. We're not going into any of that. But I used to feel like, you know what, if it's cool with y'all, what's the issue? And I would read articles like this and think, you're just blowing stuff out of proportion. It's not that serious. But then if you piece some stuff together, like what we talked about earlier tonight, with people that have these unresolved issues and they don't communicate it. So you hit the nail on the head with, you might have two people that agree, yeah, you know, it's a couple. They want to watch porn together. This is part of what we do as our sexual practice. But the problem can happen when you have one person who seems to go along with it, but in the back of their mind, they have these issues, these insecurities, and maybe they're not communicating that to their partner, but they're thinking, why does he or she need that in order to get in the mood with me? So, you know, communication, that. And then the other part of that, the flip side of that, and, you know, some people do that in their relationship, and it's not an issue for either one of you. So that's your business. How y'all roll, that's y'all business. But we do know people, whether it's in the workplace, that this has been a problem, or just, you know, one of our guests, one from our previous episode, Josh, you know, talked about how he had a porn addiction that led to him completely losing his business. He was highly successful. That led to him losing his business, having criminal charges. And so if you haven't heard that one on is sex ruining your success, you need to go back and replay that episode. But the thing is, it can get out of hand. And what started off innocent can start off as one of the partner's obsession. And I'll give you another example. So people, don't close your ears because we want you obviously to listen. But don't change your opinion of me as the host. I remember when I was in my 20s, and we understand all this about our 20s, you know, you're young, you're inexperienced, you think everything is to go. I told you I was over analytical, let me go out that disclaimer. But when people would talk about alternative lifestyles, and I remember I had met a few couples who were swingers, okay? You talk about 50 Shades stuff, I mean, they were, I always said 50 Shades is not true of that community anyway, but it was deep. I'm just going to put that. I met people in college that were involved in pornography. I met people in college who were swingers. And I mean, like, they've been doing this. They weren't just young people. I met older people that were married, and they were swingers, and they had their secret societies, could tell you where everywhere was. But I say all that to say this. It seemed innocent to them that they were in agreement. They had multiple sexual partners. It was a regular habit to have different couples that they engage with sex with. And according to the wife and husband, they were cool with that. But, you know, if you've ever been around couples in that community, and if you really talk to them long enough, over time you'll start learning how their relationship breaks down. And a lot of times one person is so happy with all the sex they get with all these other people, and I'll say typically from what I witness, it's the male. But it's the woman who a lot of times feels like, this isn't cool anymore. Like, I want to stop doing this. Like, I really would like to stop, you know, you're doing this much, or it's frequent, or can we go back to each other? So you get that same thing, like we said earlier with the porn. They're feeling like sort of, you know, why does he need so many women so much? But this is the same person that gave you permission and said it was cool. So communication is everything. And a lot of times there's just miscommunication. What you think is a good theory and you think is cool and it works, sometimes it doesn't, especially if you have a partner, even though they say this is okay, if they have some insecurities and things that are not dealt with, it can be problematic later. But on those wonderful words and all of that wonderful sex we're talking about, do you have any final thoughts or last words for us, Rebecca?
I mean, it's really just to mirror what you just said. But I think overall, part of changing your mindset overall in all these different areas that we talked about is being honest with, one, yourself. You, and this is sometimes painful for people to do. You know, we talked about baggage in the sense of, you know, sex, but just there's baggage in other places too that's making it hard for you to change and grow your mindset. So you really have to start with being honest with yourself and then find someone that you trust and that you can be honest with, because once you and, you know, sometimes maybe that means seeking, you know, actual professional help. It just depends on what it is. But I feel like once you're really able to, like, self-analyze and take an honest look at yourself and figure out those things about you, then you can reach out. And like I said, if it needs to be professional, fine. Or if you just need to talk to a trusted friend, fine. But that's when the growth really happens. People, you know, people don't understand growth can't happen until you get past those first hurdles of just being honest and, you know, and transparent. So, you know, I really encourage people to do that, to take that time to do that, and you'd be amazed how much growth and how freeing it is to, you know, to let it go, to let it out and let it go and start to work on those things that you have built up inside.
Yes. And, you know, I'm just realizing in this discussion, especially that last part, that, oh my goodness, no, seriously, I didn't, you know, sometimes this show brings out things, and it's funny when the tables are turned on me instead of the guest. So I'm just like, wow, you really knew some interesting people in your undergrad college experience. I'm like, did I just
right.
see porn and sweat? I'm just like, wow. And I didn't think anything of it back then. I was like, no, typical people just don't know people that have. You know, I even knew someone that was in Wicca. I knew witches and warlocks. So, oh my God. I knew some interesting people. That's wow. Okay. So, I was just like, wow.
The things we do in undergrad.
I didn't do. I just know people,
well,
okay? I was always the Bible, church-going, good girl. But still, thank
Look
you.
Look here.
I
we don't have time for that.
You know what? I tell my truth. And that is my answer. And final answer, and I do not need to phone a friend. Okay, but in closing, I did want to inform my listeners, and this is another test episode, and I know you guys have to remember if you follow this show, we talked about known as S. Monique. We talked about how she was the longest living Jane Doe and talked about how she had been stolen and didn't know who her mother was, does all of this awesome work for missing persons, and felt that she would never know the truth about her identity or, you know, who her mother was or where she was born. And, you know, in that episode, if you haven't heard it, you want to go back and listen, because can you imagine not knowing who you are, where you were born, what your real age is, what is your real name, and having to continue life like that? Well, we're pleased to announce, and really I think it was 2 weeks after we did the show interview with her, that she has actually, after decades of closed doors, a childhood that's filled with emotional, physical, and sexual abuse, when she had her documentary screening, she officially met her blood sister and she learned her true identity. So S. Monique Smith is no longer the longest living Jane Doe. I mean, I guess you could say technically she is, but she's no longer a Jane Doe because now she discovered that her biological mom has passed away and has passed away some decades ago. She has six siblings. And it was actually her big sister who I, if you follow the pictures on our Facebook page, you'll see it. But her big sister looks so much like her. They almost look identical. She's actually been looking for her all of these years. So, wow.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. And I remember seeing the pictures and you can just see the tears, obviously you see the tears, Joe, but you can feel the emotion. I think I got goosebumps when I was looking at those pictures because I can't imagine not knowing where I came from and then having, having, you know, your sister just show up. And then I think she had a niece show up and everything like that. So it was just amazing. It was amazing to watch. And I can only imagine, you know, the joy that they're all feeling by being, you know, reconnected.
Exactly. And we know she is going to have an amazing holiday to, you know, be reconnected. Even following her on social media, you see where she's going, you know, to places, applying for a birth certificate, doing, you know, different tests and things like that. Come find out she's actually from New York. So, you know, going through with her older sister and, you know, just so many great things are happening. And you know, that is wonderful. That's wonderful to hear. Of course, if you visit the entrepreneurslounge.info, you'll be able to see some of those, the link for the previous show about identity and hear her actual interview. And you can also binge listen to our previous shows. Subscribe to that YouTube channel where you get to see both of our faces in a more casual setting and discussions of more personal nature, although I think tonight we must have channeled in that energy from our YouTube experience. But... Also, we talk about I think more on our YouTube video, but there is a way for you to sign up for what we like to call cocktails and conversations. It's your chance to register to mastermind with the two of us. You know, sometimes you may have business ideas and you need strategy, or you know, you may not have that core network, that core group that really can give you insight. Or maybe you do have that core group, but there's something just don't want to let them know about, and you can definitely register to sit down with both of us, whether it's a virtual or if you're in the Hampton Roads, Virginia area, you can actually sit down with us in person. So that's all for now, and we charge you to really take the advice in this show and the previous show on mindset and examine yourself and see where you fit in, because the one thing we want to do is we want to give you the ability to push through to the next level. You deserve the life you envision and even more. So we wish you the best. We wish you those things. We just want you to have the clarity and the freedom to not only have massive success as an entrepreneur, but in your life in general. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Entrepreneur's Lounge, where we expose the myths of entrepreneurship and release the weight of it all. Real people, real issues, and real talk with expert solutions. Make sure you stay tuned to our Facebook page and thejoyguru.net for show updates, announcements, and to learn how you can be a guest on our show.